But if you're a parent of a senior, you're probably feeling, that was so fast. That was so fast, I cannot believe I have a senior. Maybe in your mind, you're saying, it feels like just yesterday, I was changing their dirty diaper. Okay, maybe that's a stretch, but you get the point. As our children grow up, it goes by so fast. There's not a day that goes by that I look at Naomi and I look at Lila and I realize they're growing so fast, as Naomi is probably going to be taller than me, as she's already up to here on me. But in my head, I constantly ask this question. Am I making every day I have with them count? Am I making every day I have with them count? If you will please turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In this section of scripture, Moses stood before the people of Israel as they prepared to head into the promised land. And it is challenged to them as a nation and as households is to be people to follow and honor God in everything that they do. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed to me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase gently in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the land the God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your strength and soul, and with all your strength. Sorry, I have the wrong verses there, but you get the point. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames and on your houses and on your gates. I think it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to catch the heart of raising up the next generation in this passage. But before we can get into that, I want to take a moment to examine two verses. And these two verses, I think, are extremely significant, not only to the Jewish custom, but also the Christian religion. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's probably a verse that some of you in here, you might have memorized. It's a verse that we know and we understand. But these two verses are being recited in Jewish synagogues around the world this weekend. They will be spoken in Jewish homes. It is posted on the door frames of Jewish homes. These two verses are such a big deal that they're actually given a name, and they're called the Shema. The Shema. Where did that name come from? The answer is actually found in the very first word of these verses. Shema is the Hebrew word that is translated to hear or listen, depending on your translation that you're looking at. But I want to pause on this for a second, because when we see the word hear, we may just think of noise going in the ear holes, right, of our ears and registering. This word is much more than that. It's much more than that. See, to fully understand it, to fully understand the Shema, it's to hear, pay attention to, and respond. Hear. Pay attention to and respond. And here's why I pause on this one for a moment. By starting with the word Shema, Moses was basically saying, listen, Israel. Listen, Israel. Pay attention to this. The Lord is God. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. So Israel, because you are paying attention to this, respond with loving God with all of your being. It's one thing to listen, right? But it's something more to Shema. And maybe, just maybe, the most important challenge that you can have this morning is simply Shema. Listen, pay attention, and respond. I think it's so great that just from two little words, we get so much. Side note, I know some of you are reading through the Bible on the Read Scripture app. And in that Read Scripture app, there's videos from the Bible Project. If you want to know more about the Shema, and no, they're not paying me for this, but this is where I went to, you can actually go to the Bible Project, and they have a video series on the Shema and looking into that. So that's just a side note. But let's get into the point that's really resonating with me this morning. The call of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 9 is not only to personally live out the Shema, but it's also to pass it on to the next generation. This becomes very clear in the immediate instructions that follow in verse 6 through 7. Check out verse 6. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. To be upon your hearts. The call is to live it out. To live it out. And then if you look at verse 7, impress them on your children. Pass it on to the next generation. And Moses goes a little deeper and a little more detailed in his instruction in the second half verse of 7 all the way through 9. He says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. And if you look at these verses closely, Moses presents an all-encompassing call to the people of Israel. And this call is for them to raise up the next generation to live out the Shema. And he goes even a step further and he says, hey, do it all day long. And catch the when words here. He says, when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up. And he's saying to do this in all settings. He goes even further and says, you need to be doing this in your home. You need to be doing this as you're along the road. And he's saying this needs to be the highest priority. That's what he's getting at in verse 8, with this picture of having symbols on your hands and bound on your foreheads. And finally, he's saying it needs to happen while still under your roof. Still under your roofs. That's what he's getting at in verse 9 when he highlights our houses and our gates. And this is one is a little more subtle in passage, but there's a principle laced throughout Scripture on the importance of instilling faith during the formative years when they're under our care. Probably the most blatant scripture that challenges us in this idea actually comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not part from it. You know this verse, right? We love this verse. This is a verse that we love to hold on as a promise. The reality is that we should probably grab a hold of this as a call or a commandment. Which finally brings me, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm listening to someone preach and I look at their sermon slides, it drives me nuts. And maybe the whole marble thing has been driving you nuts, and I'm going to explain that to you. I know you're probably, what is up with these marbles? Why did you pick the marbles? And there's a purpose for this. And it may be a purpose that might freak you out a little bit if you have a senior, if you have grandkids who are a senior, or even kids in that matter. This number 936, I challenge you, count it right now. No, don't do it. Take my word for it. This number 936 has meaning. And it has meaning when we're talking about raising up the next generation. There is approximately 936 weeks from birth until high school graduation. Let that set in for a little bit, because if you think about it, oh, that's a lot, right? 936 weeks from birth until high school graduation. So letting one of these marbles represent a single week, there are approximately 936 marbles from the day your child is born until your child graduates and moves on to whatever's next, whatever it is they decide to do. From that moment that little child entered the world, the countdown has started. And with each passing week, a marble comes out of the jar. Now, I know there are a limited amount of newborns in our church, so let's draw this out a little bit by getting a visual of some of the most significant transitions that we see in this 936 weeks. So once kindergarten starts, we get pretty specific in our timing. It is 624 weeks until they move on. And this is a big shift, right? As we run into the formative grade school years and in that big transition into middle school. And so, yeah, at sixth grade, we're down to 364 marbles. Think about this a second. 364 hormonally charged marbles. You know, at this point, we've already lost nearly two-thirds of our marbles. It's true. And if you have a sixth grader at home, you know all about losing your marbles. It happens, right? But it gets even worse than that. When your kid walks through the doors of high school as a freshman, you're down to 208 marbles. 208 weeks. Reality's starting to set in a little bit, isn't it? And then most of you, parents of seniors out there, considering the fact that it's only going to get worse because you're down to 52 weeks. And if you are a senior, I'm sorry, it's even less than that because we have seniors that are going to be graduating in the next, what, 2 months? But don't freak out, okay? Don't freak out. That's not what the purpose of this is. Okay, if you want to, you can a little bit. Maybe some of you are out there right now and you say, thanks, this is equally depressing and I'm freaking out. But that's not the emotions or my goal that I want you to have. And I also know that some of you may be resistant to the idea of doing a countdown. You may be thinking, don't make me focus on how much time I have left. I should just be focused on now and what's going on around me. You know, this visual of marbles, I did not come up with it. It would be great if I did, but I didn't. It actually comes from Orange, which is an organization that focuses on strategic partnerships between the church and family and raising up the next generation. And Reggie Joyner, the CEO of Orange, says this when it comes to keeping track of your marbles. He says this: when you see how much time you have left, you tend to get serious about the time you have now. When you see how much time you have left, you tend to get serious about the time you have now. We aren't counting down with dread. You shouldn't be doing that. Instead, we are paying attention to the time we have left, so we will be motivated, so that in hopes we can make this countdown actually count in our lives. Now, I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to make sure that we're all tracking. So grandparents and parents, you've likely been healthy tracking to this point. And I fully recognize, I fully understand in every church that we're a part of, and no matter where we are, there are empty nesters, right? There are those that aren't yet parents. We do have those who are single and those who are actually a part of this age group in this room. So you might be thinking, well, this morning's a waste of time for me, thanks. But that's false. Here's where you come in, and don't miss this. Please don't miss this. You are essential to this. This is the responsibility of the church, not only the family and the church. I believe the biblical model that's outlined in Deuteronomy and also in other places points to the home as being where the priority discipleship should be happening. Yet the church family is here to work in partnership with the home. It's really meant to be a both-and situation. When I see this partnership functioning, it's a beautiful thing that we get to see and we get to see a part of. However, there can be moments when the investment is not taking place at home. I've seen this before. And it's in these moments that the church has the opportunity to play its normal role and also play the role as family. And when I see this happening, it's also a beautiful thing. Whether it's present in home or not, you are important. You're important to the spiritual development of the next generation. It's on all of our hands. And in the world of children and youth ministries, there's this thing known as the 5-to-1 ratio. The idea is, whether it's weekly program or a retreat or a mission trip, to have one adult leader present for every 5 kids. And really the general thought is that this ratio gives a good coverage. It gives a good coverage to the kids and ensures that nothing gets burnt down and you don't have issues. But I want to challenge this a bit. And I want you to think about this a bit. What if we flipped it? What if we were to seek and give 5 caring adults to invest in the spiritual journey of 1 kid? Let me even take it a step further. What if moms and dads in this church were able to confidently, with sheer confidence, identify 5 individuals that are intentionally investing in their child's journey through every step of their journey? There's only one way that can happen, right? There are some great mentors that come in the form of educators and coaches. We have some in here, and I really appreciate everything they do and what they do. But you know what? They have limitations when they're in the schoolroom. They have limitations of what they can actually do when they're at school. But the church is the place where we can be fully, fully focused on our kids' journey with Jesus and not get told we can't do it. So those that fall in that category, whether you're an empty nester, maybe you're single and adult, maybe you're married with no kids, what if you were one of those 5? What if you were one of those 5s in the life of our children and teens in this church that we have? That finally brings me to those of you in this room that are in the 0 to 18-year-old category. I'm so hopeful for them and what they're going to be able to accomplish. But I still think they need to be challenged. And my challenge to all of them is this: be willing to be invested in. Be willing to be invested in. Because the truth is that a willing heart is a game changer, right? We even know that as adults. If they're willing to have a willing heart, it's a game changer. As I've walked with a lot of students over my time and in the many churches that I've been in, I've noticed a trend. Those students who seek out and surround themselves with those who care about their journey with Jesus are the ones who excel in their faith during the next phase in their life. So what if you sought, and I'm talking to you guys, what if you sought to surround yourselves with people who are going to help you learn to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength? I think we need to be a church that does not just hear the call of God to love Him with all of our being, but let's be a church who listens. Let's be a church that pays attention. Let's be a church that responds to the call in every aspect of our lives. Let's be a church that really lives out the Shema and what that looks like. And more importantly, as parents, let's make the countdown count. I had a thought leading into this week. One of my thoughts was, hey, I'll get on Amazon and I'll buy a bunch of marbles and put them in jars. But the thought of that was, well, what do I do with all those marbles when I'm done? So I didn't do that. But I had a thought. What if you bought your own set of marbles for each of your kids? And at the end of every week, you pull two marbles out. With one, you look at and you consider how you've done this past week. With your call to raise up your child and in the way he or she should go. And then you put that marble to the side. With the other, you process and you take a moment to pray, asking God for the wisdom and the courage to make the most of the week ahead. And then you put it back in the jar. If you try that, let me know how it goes. I think what we understand from this and what we understand from Deuteronomy is it's our job to invest in the next generation. The bottom line this morning is when you see how much time you have left, you tend to get serious about the time you have now. May we be a church who will make the countdown count. This morning, my question for you is how is God asking you to listen? How is God asking you to pay attention? How is God asking you to respond? Maybe this morning you need the prayers of this church, and you've been paying attention, and God is just tugging your heart to share that request. And all you have to do is be willing to respond. We want to do that for you. We want to help you in that area. Maybe this morning God is asking you to respond to the waters of baptism, and you're ready to start your journey and striving to make every day in your life count. We'll be willing to help with that too. I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know how you need to respond, but I ask that you do it as we stand and as we sing.